This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Tuesday.
Welcome, everyone.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for your noon hour of news and talk.
This Easy
is
for you.
Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. This is the place in the Mid-Valley to listen about local initiatives, individuals, ideas, and institutions. And we have an individual in studio today representing quite a powerful institution in the region, the City of Salem's Mayor Chuck Bennett.
Good afternoon.
Did you watch some football, Mayor?
Are
you
a football watcher? I watched part of the game yesterday, I guess it was, or day before. I can't remember. The whole thing runs
well
together.
When you're retired. Well,
yeah,
what's the day of the week, right?
What can it matter? And you got 3 days. And yeah, I watched the 49ers and the Packers, actually, is the one I watched.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Well, we know who Dave Bourne was rooting for.
I was all decked out in my
green and gold.
Well, I have I have a jersey now. It's number 84, Bourne.
It is not
wow.
green. It's red.
Dave Bourne, get it? Yeah.
It's
okay.
Red.
It's red, though.
It is clear.
It is red.
It is red.
Definitely red.
As we know, I went to UC Berkeley, affectionately known as Cal, as did Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
One of the more famous players to come out of that. So I like to see him do well. I would have liked to see him go back to the Super Bowl, but I'm a Niners fan, and it was kind of nice to see the Niners return.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Aaron's not doing too badly.
No, I was expecting the way that Aaron usually plays, I expected a comeback.
I think Jeff Morgan, just here on KYKN, Jeff Morgan, right? And
yeah.
Zach Selinky. Thank you, Zach. They were saying the Packers are going to score 24 to 31 points and that on their program on Friday. I thought...
That's
yeah,
a lot.
I don't think so.
Well, the 49ers, man, they racked up the points.
All right, let's talk to the mayor, shall we?
Yes. We got lots to talk about.
We do?
Yes.
Well,
yeah, it was pretty,
something critically
pretty quiet
important.
Out there.
And I, honestly, as much as we've talked about it, I'm kind of getting more and more disgruntled about it, and maybe you can tell us what kind of feedback you're getting. You're going to meet tomorrow, the council.
Tonight.
And because yesterday was a holiday, so you're going to meet tonight and talk about emergency measures for the homeless crisis. Can I tell you where I'm at on this?
Sure. If you voted in Salem, I'd even...
You care even more?
I'd care a lot more.
I think a lot of people are, be compassionate.
Yeah.
Provide services.
Yeah.
Be caring, but get them out of downtown.
Yeah.
You can do all of these things without letting our downtown deteriorate. You know what I mean? It's like,
I do
all of those things. We don't want to be in this day and age. You can't be, I don't care about these people and kick them off to the curb and, you know, go push them into the Willamette kind of, stuff. But we can be caring and compassionate and provide services for those who will take them, but have them not be downtown. What's the hurdle?
If they're not downtown, they're in someone's neighborhood, I think, is part of the hurdle. I'm one of those. We early on had a strong recommendation from our police chief. No camping, no sitting and lying on our public streets. And if you got caught doing that several times and wouldn't take the warning, then you would be excluded from downtown. I continue to believe the police chief knows how this ought to be handled. In addition, we need to certainly over time develop some additional shelter spots. We have every night shelter that is not being used. We still have people camped or parked without tents in front of Rite Aid, and down on Center Street by the mall and kind of Nordstrom mm-hmm. location.
Indeed.
And every night, shelter space goes wanting. So I think part of the real difficulty here is I think folks are having real trouble understanding this is not just homeless. There's also kind of a street people element to this who really aren't, they're not willing to go into shelter. This isn't like we're hard-hearted and there's no place to stay. So we're going to add to that. We still haven't dealt with the sit-lie issue. We have said no erecting structures or pitching tents on our public streets.
You think that's going to cycle back, Mayor?
I think there are people who would like to revisit that. I think there are folks on the council who would like to set up tent camps in a public park in a neighbor park in a neighborhood near you. And if you wonder about that, part of the so-called emergency housing proposal is to have a shelter in Pringle Hall at Pringle Park, kind of down by the hospital behind Safe in that kind of Gaiety Hill neighborhood, which, by the way, is very heavily impacted by downtown homelessness. As you might imagine, people do move into the neighborhoods and pitch tents and hide out kind of in people's yards. And over the past several days, I've received really concerning reports from residents along Church, Leslie, Oak, those streets in that neighborhood, where folks have come through the door into their house, have confronted them.
Wow, it's a good way to get yourself shot.
Well, it is. It's very concerning, and they're worried. You open up a 30, 35-bed shelter in their neighborhood, that's going to become a magnet for more people. And, of course, the city is promising there will be security, we'll be watching, nothing will go wrong. I just got to say, take a look at our downtown streets and tell me any idea so far has not had consequences. And they're not unintended. I think people know what's going on. I think most all of us understand what's going on. These are just consequences. And I think the question is, whose neighborhood's it going to be in? Where are the problems going to move today? So I'm real concerned about it, and will continue to be. We are working on an ongoing long-term solution to the problem of homelessness, which is really Housing First is the kind of program with wraparound programs. We're continue to work on that. We've housed over 230 people under that program who've left our streets and
gone into
housing.
Yeah, that's 230 people that are not in a downtown block. Right.
Exactly. These are the people that are seeking to get out of homelessness.
Well,
then you have the element you said that are homeless.
Homeless is a tricky.
Street people.
Yeah. I think homelessness, poverty, all these things are interesting descriptors. What they are is they're unsheltered, and they have not chosen to go into shelter at this point. I think one of the challenges for the city council, because this is coming on the heels of the problems downtown.
Right.
I think they're going to have to explain how opening a shelter at Pringle Hall will resolve the downtown issue.
That's not going to
happen. And it won't.
It won't because of a couple of things. First of all, street people won't go into a shelter if they can't smoke or drink or do drugs. That's one of the main reasons that street people won't go into a, they won't go in.
Or take their pet or their
partner. Oh, yeah, their pet, too.
There are varieties of barriers that folks run into, and it's a question of priorities, you know.
Yeah, everybody who tells you says, well, you know, if you just do this for them and you do that for them and do this for them, and, well, they've never experienced when the doors are open and they say no.
No, they haven't.
Right? The doors are open, the services are available, and they're like, yeah, I'm not doing that, and they're doing, you know, stay in the condition they're in.
Right? I think each of us use kind of our value system saying, gee, if I was in that condition, I'd do anything to get under shelter. I'd do anything to get my family under shelter. With that in mind, we do have people living in vehicles, and we've had a lot of requests from kind of the church community, some other nonprofit communities saying, we would like to have folks with vehicles who'd like to come park in our parking lot overnight, come park in our parking lot overnight, a safe place to park their cars. So we're going to allow that to occur, but I think you have to have both garbage and sanitary services there. It'll be interesting to see how many folks actually step up. We've had this kind of thing occur before, and then the church or the institution call us and say, would you please come in and clear this out? It's more than we expected. It is more
challenging. Unintended consequences. Yeah. We're going to take a break. We are here with Chuck Bennett, the mayor of the city of Salem. The controversial aspects about what is happening now is, of course, a community hall. It's going to affect a different neighborhood. And potential for churches and other institutions to move the homeless to your neighborhood. So let's talk about that when we come back. I'm Brent D. Hart with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to 1430 KYKN.
Now back to Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent D. Hart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back. This is Brent D. Hart. We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett. It's a delight to have him this fine Tuesday, a beautiful time to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley. And I'm a little bit facetious about that today. Most of the time I mean it.
Yeah.
But January...
You know, the sun was out today,
February.
Though. There was rainbows out there.
I enjoyed my drive to work today. It was in the sunshine.
It was very pretty out.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Between the gray and the short days.
Oh, boy.
All right. Hey, I'm going to change subject a little bit. Before the break, we were talking about some emergency shelters and how some are going to be pretty controversial, like taking a community hall in a mixed neighborhood and essentially opening up to people to move in that neighborhood. And you said it, you had a perfect answer, Mayor, when I asked, well, why can't you just stop their presence downtown? How do we make them unwelcome enough? Right. So let's circle back to that. But we were talking during the break about the police facility taking shape.
Yeah, it really is,
and
isn't it?
It's still going to be is it going to be another year before it opens?
No, it's less than a year. It's about 9 months now. I think it's in September 2020. We'll cut the ribbon or whatever.
It'd be nice to have that behind us, won't it?
Oh, I think so. I know the chief of police is really looking forward to it.
And some departments are going to move into the space currently occupied by the police in the city hall?
Yeah, there'll have to be some work done in that space. It's housed the police for over 40 years, so there's quite a bit that needs to be done down in there. But we'll be bringing in part of our staff that is out in space either we own but could rent, like on the parking garage. Chemeketa parking garage is our urban development department. That's rentable space, commercial space. And then we have some other staff members that are in other parts of the city, either paying rent or using space that can be used more effectively in a different way. So we'll be pulling those folks into City Hall, into the space down there, as we have enough space available for them.
Can I ask a question about, since you mentioned community development, urban development rather, across the street is Saffron Supply and the current Union Gospel Mission. Are plans to take that block and prepare it for redevelopment well along the way?
Yes. That's my understanding at this point. I've asked about whether there's any thought of reusing the existing UGM as a shelter. And I was told at this point, no, it really is not the right building for a shelter, which kind of surprised me because there is shelter. being sheltered there. But
I thought the whole point is not have a shelter on that critical
That's pretty much it. But what are we going to do between that point and the point we sell it, clear the land, get ready for a new development? So we're looking at, I think what's going to happen is that'll be pretty quickly taken down to the ground and the whole thing and put on the market.
So speaking of taking it down to the ground and putting it on the market, the old Wells Fargo building site, which is now a hole in the ground at Liberty in Chemeketa.
Yeah.
Any bites on that getting up out of the ground?
Not that I'm aware of. That's not owned by the city. Obviously, it's privately held. And I think it's really up to the private owner when they're going to be ready for that to be redeveloped. I know it's been looked at. by a couple of developers who have looked at it for mixed use, both commercial and residential, and then decided not to go ahead at this time. And I can't tell you why. I really don't know the reasoning that they decided not to proceed. But that has been approached several times with that kind of development in mind, that kind of mixed-use development.
Is there anything that the city or the urban renewal agency can do to help be a catalyst for that?
Well, the city is standing ready to be the catalyst. So any kind of serious discussion that goes on, the city participates in with the various tools it has available. So no one who looks at our downtown ignores the fact that we have a very robust urban development, urban renewal program down there. And The reasons people have not moved ahead there don't have anything to do with the city's willingness to be a participant in redevelopment of that land. We want to see that redeveloped as bad as everyone else.
We're talking to Chuck Bennett, mayor of the city of Salem. I'm going to ask you a tough question here. We had County Commissioner Sam Brentano in earlier this month.
Yeah.
And I asked him a question. Do you feel the city of Salem's a good partner for planning purposes, and specifically it was about roads and streets and roads, and his answer was no. He didn't feel as though they were good partners, that they're not on the same page. We didn't dive deeply into it, but I think it had to do with, you know, how are we going to build out, or are we going to build out transportation infrastructure? So maybe that was interconnected with his feelings on the river crossing, his feelings on I don't know, maybe taking away lanes and parking for bikes and things like that. But do you have any thoughts on that as far as the city's relationship in transportation planning with the counties?
I think your analysis is spot on. Sam was a – I know it's like you just know exactly what you're doing.
Big surprise.
And he does. You've been involved long enough in these issues. Sam was a tremendous advocate for another river crossing, and I think profoundly disappointed when the city council's makeup changed. Membership changed, and the city backed away from 13 years of promises around a river crossing and moving forward. So that'll knock you back on your heels a bit. And then I see Sam on a regular basis. I don't think he's talking about me, but I know he's watching proposals for State Street, which is a major east-west entry into Salem, and one that recall Sam's from Sublimity, and the commissioner was the mayor there, and he uses State Street quite a bit, and there's a proposal that would put that street on a road diet, and I know that bothers him because it's giving up car lanes to bicycles and sidewalks. Same thing on Church Street is another area that I know has bothered him, that bicycle lanes were put in. And I think part of it is just a different, the changing political and travel environment inside the city versus outside the city. And the two aren't quite on the same spot yet. Mm-hmm. But there's increasing interest inside the city to have more aggressive walking and bicycling opportunities, as well as trying to slow traffic a bit. And then, of course, clearly there has not been a majority on the city council to proceed with a third bridge across the Willamette. So yeah. You can see why Sam's sort of... maybe a little dismayed.
All right, I'm going to switch gears on you again. So we have limited time with the mayor. I'm going to hit all those departments. But I know you get briefings on some preparation things. I'm looking at the valley being soaked and saturated with water, with more water coming and warm water coming. So that's the trifecta of the ground's already saturated. There's rain coming to provide more. The river's high, and it may melt snow. And that's really the compounding effects. Is anybody in the public works saying, hey, we need to be alert a little bit, we're worried about flooding this month?
They haven't notified us yet, but they are watching constantly. We have gauges all the way up the canyon. We're tracking at all the way along in terms of river height. Obviously, we draw water out of the river at Staten Island, which is a really good location to kind of keep track of what's going on in that river system as it heads into the Willamette. And we are in constant contact with the Corps of Engineers up at Detroit, which is in contact with all of the dams at the various rivers. So far, no indication that the Willamette is close to the level where we'd see water push back into the larger tributaries, whether it's Mill Creek or the Sandy Am or any of the others. We haven't seen that yet, but that's generally how we get flooded. Mill Creek, or one, mainly Mill Creek, but it can be Pringle Creek and others, hit the Willamette and there's no place to go.
Nowhere to go.
And it just comes back up in. And if you ever look, if you haven't done it, someday pull up a topographic map of the city of Salem and you will see exactly where the flooding will be. You can see where historically water has backed up into this region,
yeah,
from prehistory to modern.
Even the Sheldon Ditch, which is supposed to be a ditch, it is flowing like a major
river.
It
really is.
There,
yeah,
by Willamette and the Amtrak station, and it can't take too much more at that.
Well, it's warm. There's a huge snowpack up there in the Cascades. I have a creek on some property I own up there, and it's always raging about this time of year, pouring into the North Sandy Am. It's really going, but it doesn't appear yet we have all the pieces together for the kind of flooding we've seen like in 96 or other years.
Good. I'm happy to have snow in the mountains and some jade. Let it flow all
summer
long.
They can stay up there.
Yeah.
All right, Mayor, before we go to break, let's wrap up the conversation about tonight and the emergency measures. How controversial do you think the Pringle Community Hall vote will be, and how do you think it'll fall out?
I think it's going to be really contested by the Gayety Hill neighborhood and the Scan neighborhood, which are the locally affected neighborhoods. At this point, I believe it could well pass and be approved, but I think it will be with some real serious discussion about security. I personally am just not moved yet.
What if you open it and nobody comes?
We'll open it and some will come.
Okay. And how many bodies can it house?
I believe it's about 37, if I recall correctly.
Okay. Wow. All right. So there's that. And what about the camping, allowing camping in parking lots in the city?
Well, that'll be allowed. Can't be next to a residential area. There's a bunch of other factors in place. I know. I don't know how you do it without a residential area, but that's part of it. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And then the third, I think, is we'll be watching the state legislature closely. The speaker has a package and has been talking about a statewide emergency, which would kind of relieve us of some of the zoning impediments that occur if you want to do something quick in terms of allowing certain kinds of housing. So,
Mayor, we've got to take a break.
Yep.
We're going to come back. You want to stay another 10 minutes? No, you got to go.
No, I'll stay.
All right. I'd like to talk about public safety a little bit. So
okay.
Stick with us. This
sure.
is Mayor Chuck Bennett here with us on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Vinton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back, everyone. Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne.
Woohoo!
You're listening to Newsmakers. And we pressed upon Mayor Bennett to stay a little bit more time
strapped
with us.
Strapped into the chair more like.
I know, yeah, kind of hitting a lot of topics. We can't talk about homeless all the time.
That's true.
I'm a little afraid of
That's
people
true.
Hitting a button to go into sports talk or something, you know? And anyway.
Impeachment.
Jeez. Impeachment. We'll let Rush Limbaugh handle that stuff, right?
Yes.
And Dr.
Sebastian Gorka.
Gorka. The
or O'Reilly at one.
Not that I don't have my own thoughts on it, but we'll let those be quiet.
Okay.
Hey, so we talked about this right after it happened. Chamber Public Policy Session had our police chief and our fire chief, Chief Niplock, and Chief Moore there. And the statistics were really condemning in terms of we should be adding 2 officers a year, a community of our size, when you're talking about 160,000, 165,000 people and growing. not exceedingly fast, but growing, but we should be adding a police officer a year. Instead, over a decade, we've lost two officers. He has two fewer officers to respond to emergency calls than we did a decade ago. And where I'm leading with this is that we have the ballot measure coming in May for the, I want to say payroll tax, but it's called employee tax, right?
It's a tax payroll, on the wages. It's a payroll tax.
It's an income tax.
Yeah, well, it is.
In the city of Salem.
Yeah.
If it doesn't pass and we have this strong need for public safety, what's the next step? I mean, I know we looked at a lot of options in the revenue task force. Of all the crappy ones, this was the least, one of the least crappy ones, right? So even
good
though
way to put it.
Yeah, it's one of the least crappy options.
Jeez.
But then when you look at holy cow, the Chief Niblock said to achieve our standard, we need three completely new engine companies.
That's correct.
Three engine companies.
Yeah.
That is $5 million a year to staff, not to mention building the dang things. And that's for a community of our size. So when you're choking on your steak or when you're having a heart attack or when there's a fire in your building, you can't get out. Do they get there in 5.5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Kind of critical.
Kind of.
Police officers to respond. Everybody in the room, I'm looking around, and when he said, there was a time I got a call and there were 30 people who had called 911 or called the police for response and nobody was available. He said, I didn't even have 30 cops on duty at the moment. And the ones I did have were already helping somebody else.
With so, probably three or four more to go.
That's just unacceptable.
Yeah.
Right? When
that's
it comes
crazy.
To when we need them, you think, oh, I don't want to pay more taxes. I don't want more taxes. And then when you need them, like, well, how come you weren't here? And how come you don't have enough police officers and firefighters and paramedics?
Right.
So this least crappy option, I'm.
Yeah.
What's in the back of my head, in the back of my question, Mayor, is, do public safety advocates, if this doesn't fly, have to look at a public safety levy like Polk County did?
Well, I think we can't just walk away from this issue. I think the public safety portion of it was kind of an afterthought, but I think it also is a real understanding on the council that we are facing a real crisis. We have known that with both police and fire over the years. What we've had is tremendous leadership at the police department, a really highly motivated force that has been able, I think, to mask the problem. But we're hitting points where we just need more people out there on the street, taking care of traffic. I mean, we get people talking about, geez, the number of people getting hit by cars and, you know, that kind of stuff. You need to have traffic police out there. You need to have detectives out there. I get a lot of emails about, well, somebody broke into my car or that kind of activity. That just means we need more people out there on patrol. Downtown clearly needs more police. We've tried over the years to add to that. We worked with the chief to set up a downtown center. But let me give you an example. The north end of Salem, Station 8, for the fire department, we'll go over there for a second, going out to Station 8 is outside the city of Salem. It's over at Chemeketa Community College. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not inside the city, and the north end of town is growing. We're adding 600 homes up there, up off Kale Road. I mean, it's a and a lot of other development is going on up there. There's tremendous demand for their services. We need to move that station into the city limits, into service. We need to add an additional member to each of the ladder companies. We're down to three, should be four, really, to have the right number of people on site when you have that heart attack.
Are we even going to get that? Are we ever going to get back to four?
Well, not yet. You pass this levy, and I think we will. We added back the full-time at Station 8, the north end of town, which was down pretty low time amount, and I can't remember if it's half time or what the deal was up there. And then we added back the West Salem, the additional department or station in West Salem. And really, when you look at the city's kind of discussed shortfall, it's kind of a misnomer, but what is hitting the city is that one station is expensive enough to create a real demand on the city's working capital, its reserves, which is really what's been driving the part related to the addition to people's utility bills. This one, I think the reason this tax was as successful getting to the voters as it was, number one, a group of us felt quite strongly it needed to go to the voters rather than just enact it. And then number two, it taxes the 60,000 people who come into Salem every day to work and use all of our streets. If they have a heart attack, it's our fire department. If they run into a problem where a police officer is needed, they add to the traffic volume that we need to patrol. I mean, you add it all up, and we got a huge part of the population, working population, coming in from outside of town and not helping at all with carrying the burden here. So that was one of the, I think, for the council, one of the really attractive points. I know if you live outside of town, if you live in Kaiser and drive into Salem, I know I'm not preaching to the choir that that's a good idea. I really understand the but I don't get to vote on it concept.
Yeah.
But you don't because you don't live in Salem, so you don't get to vote on Salem taxes. So this would not go into effect for a couple of years, but certainly is needed.
Let's talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of that, even getting through the ballot. Jason Brandt had brought up, and he's a co-chair of the public policy, that there hasn't been any polling.
Yeah, no, a lot of challenges there.
And how and who's going to push the measure? My wife asked me the other night, I was like, well, who's going to vote to have tax their own wages? Well, only people are convinced that the money is going to be spent prudently and there's a true need. So if they listen to the police chief and the fire chief, they might be further along in being convinced there's a need. And then there's the question is, was this the right tool? And then there's the question is, can I afford it? And this is, all of those things down the line. Huge education effort.
Yeah.
Probably a campaign effort. I'm not aware of a body. Is there a body in town who's going to kind of organize a campaign to get it passed?
Not that I'm aware of. And I think you're pointing to one of the problems right now with this measure. This kind of tax is not the kind of tax that draws a tremendous groundswell of support. It's going to require a campaign. It's going to have to be built. There's going to have to be substantial public trust that money is going into public safety. Because I know my email has, and I saw on social media starting to light up about, well, no, not public safety. Let's spend it on the homeless. That kind of confusion, I think the council is going to have to strenuously reaffirm this is going specifically to public safety and then guarantee that these dollars don't become essentially fungible, which allows you to move the money that's already there in public safety and replace it with this. There has to be really substantial growth in our public safety services if this goes into effect.
Right. And that is one of the problems in the discussion. And there are people in the room who said, I don't like the way the city's being managed. And by managed, they meant decisions coming to the city council.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I don't like the decisions they're making, and I do not want to pass something they put forward, and I don't want to give them more money. My point was, let's see, we know Brad Nanke will be gone. We know Jim Lewis will be gone. We know that Kara Kaser will be gone. I don't know if you're going to be mayor for another 6 years. There's a couple other. We may turn over. We should probably turn over more than half the seats between now and the time the money comes in if this thing were to pass. And then you have to trust the new crop that they'll actually spend it on public safety.
Yeah.
The only way really to tie it to public safety is a levy, mm-hmm. but then you're not. Then you lose the whole we're going to tax the people coming into town and who are contributing aspect, and you're putting one more thing onto the homeowner and the property owner when we're going to turn around and ask them to support, you know, the fire trucks getting replaced before too long. And they're already paying for
streets and bridges.
Streets and bridges is going to come back up.
Way to shoot holes in it there, Brent.
Well, it's one of those disconnects that, well, I believe that we need more public safety in Salem.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And which, you know, which mechanism is the public going to have an appetite for to get it done? I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, they can't just say, hey, fix PERS and I'll vote for it because the city can't do anything about PERS.
No, the state needs to do something about PERS. Yeah, well, fix it.
Well, even they can't get it fixed because the courts won't let them change PERS.
Of course, the courts should not be involved in that.
Well, they are.
I know, but I mean, how are they involved? I mean, it's something that needs to be changed by the legislature.
The legislature comes and affects my PERS, and I sue, saying, we have a contract. You promised me in my employment, essentially my employment agreement, that I would receive X upon retirement. And the courts have generally said, yeah, that's pretty much kind of a promise is a promise.
So they can't fix PERS. They have to do it over time as people retire.
As people die.
Well, I didn't want to say that. But
well, I know. You're a really polite
as they're
guy.
Coming into the workforce.
They
don't give them 110% of what their salary is for when they retire. That shouldn't be.
Yep. All right. Let's take our last.
Anymore.
We want to thank.
Exactly.
Stopped. Yeah.
And to be clear, when the mayor said, "I have an employment contract," he's not talking about himself.
He's talking as an
example.
No, the mayor is
an unpaid volunteer.
Please know I'm unpaid, and that may be very clear when I come on the radio. That guy couldn't be being paid for doing this.
You probably get a huge chunk of your annual salary put into PERS. Zero times whatever. All right. Thank you to Mayor Chuck Bennett for sticking with
us. Thank you.
This is Branton DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're going to come right back and finish up your noon hour with us. Stick with us on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. And Brent, gotta say, love having the mayor in.
It is nice.
Yeah.
I want to appreciate Mayor Chuck Bennett, not just for the work he does with the city, but also willingness to share it with you, the audience here at KYKN.
I think he likes us a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
It's also nice to be able to talk, not without being at City Hall, I think, for him.
Yeah.
You know, you're not at a public meeting, this and that. But, you know, it's important that people understand the dynamics of the decision makers, of the policy makers, and some of the things that are affecting their ability to do things. So I didn't have a chance to talk to him and ask him this, but I think it's going to be a huge campaign issue coming into May.
For?
This city council.
Oh, yeah.
This city council. We think specifically about Ward 7 with Reed Sund running against his opponent. And I think it's going to be the homeless issue that this council has allowed this to happen. And to the tax. I know he's against the tax coming up in May.
Mm-hmm.
And this council decided to have an income tax in the city. And I don't believe that should be the case. And I don't believe the street people, is that what you called them? I was thinking of all the names we can't use anymore.
There are some street people that just refuse to go into the shelters. I mean, they are, like you said, street people.
Maybe more feel good if we called them outdoors men and women.
You know, that's an insult.
Hobos is out, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Bums
is out.
Beggars.
Well, there are beggars on the street.
Urchins.
A what?
Urchins, a street urchin. That's really inappropriate.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow, you're getting deep there now.
I don't know. I just want to make sure.
I think the bridge, too.
I want to make sure I don't offend anyone.
Yeah, right.
By using the wrong terminology.
Good luck with that.
Currently housing challenged.
Yeah. I think the killing of the bridge is going to be an issue, too.
The bridge.
The transportation thing?
Yeah. The current council will be seen as the homeless collectors, mm-hmm. the bridge killers, and the tax raisers.
Yes.
Hey, I just have a campaign slogan.
You do.
Hey, if you don't like that, keep in mind, there's a pretty important. And was Jan on the show yesterday? I don't know. It's coming up tomorrow with Denise, I believe. He's running for Ward 1.
Okay.
He ran 4 years ago, and he's back again. He'd like to serve the city. So hopefully you tune in for Wednesdays with Denise, and hear about the candidate in Ward 1. And, of course,
I look forward to meeting
7's the battleground.
Oh, yeah.
Going back, this is the part that bothers me the most, and maybe it's because I have such a love for downtown and some experience in real estate. But, you know, a couple local individuals bought that space that Nordstrom's was in. And they're in control of the space, and there could be a very cool things with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could it be a housing component? Could it be an office component? Could it be a specialty shop component? Could it be services and offices and retail? How many different things could it be? Because it's a cool spot in the middle of downtown, and it's attached to the Salem Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to bring people into town and say, hey, why don't you invest in this? Why don't you move your fill in the blank into this space? Like, well, I would, but I can't get past the homeless carts
right
in the front door.
Jeez.
Now, that's a problem. That's a huge problem should be very apparent to the leaders in the city of Salem that they had to do something about immediately. And getting 30 people and say, hey, you can stay at Pringle Community Hall is not going to solve this. We were talking during the break, Dave and I.
Yes, we were.
About the more welcome you make them feel in the space, then the more that will come.
Yeah.
So do you want to make them feel as welcome as possible in the downtown core?
Well, I think if the city council passes the Sid Light thing, lets the police chief deal with it, and deals with it in his way, they're going to not want to be here because nobody wants to be harassed by the police.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. So only those that are wanting to be here to get off the street will take advantage of the services that are offered. But those that are chronic street people won't stay.
So Mayor Bennett said something that is aligned with how I view things, that sometimes people look at public policy decisions through their own eyes, mm-hmm. through their own value system. I call it through their own lenses, the lenses through which of life experience through which we work, we look. Right?
Right.
And it's totally different when you're in the place. One time I was put in my place. I met this woman and I was traveling and she was living in South Africa. And this was, you know, late 80s, right?
Okay.
Oh, South Africa. And I said something about apartheid. And she goes, oh, have you ever been there? I said, no. She goes, we have nothing to talk about.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's like, you don't know.
You don't
know anything.
That's true.
You live a hemisphere away, and you have no basis or fundamental knowledge to have an intelligent discussion with me, kind of message. And that's the same thing. Anyway, looking through our own lenses and saying, well, these people, like, everyone's going to jump into housing and a job and self-sufficiency, and everyone's going to take their psychedelic meds. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so forth.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish up the hour. I got less than a minute left. Something that I thought was funny. Reported by the Statesman Journal, 420% stronger marijuana sales. Where? Near the border at Idaho.
Wow. Wow. Big surprise.
420, no irony in that number, 420, percent stronger marijuana sales near Idaho, which, of course, is bordered by Colorado, Washington, and Oregon. All of have legal recreational marijuana, but they don't. I think it's time, Idaho.
Yeah.
Apparently, your public is crossing the border to buy it, and they want
quite a bit.
I thought that was amusing.
That is funny.
All right. We're going to be back Thursday. Tomorrow is Wednesdays with Denise. More to come. Really appreciate you listening to Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.